should just do all four corners.
I printed the whole freaking thing out. My printer just about died.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the City of Arroyo Grande. This is our City Council meeting. And this is also Tuesday, September 10th. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Guthrie?
Here.
Councilmember Ray?
Here.
Councilmember Brown?
Absolutely.
Mayor Pro Tem Costello?
Here.
And Mayor Farah?
Here. Item 3 is our flag salute, and we're very happy to have Bob Lund with us from Arroyo Grande in Bloom. He's going to lead us in the flag salute. If you would please remain standing for our invocation. Pastor Paul Toms is here from Grace Bible Church to do that for us.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You join with me, please, in a moment of prayer. Eternal God, our Father in heaven, we pause with thanksgiving today at the end of a busy day, grateful for your good gifts and blessing, and trying now to invoke your blessing and power upon us in a very special time in the life of our community. Thank you for the place you've put us. Thank you for the loveliness of this city and its communities. We think of so many places in the earth that are disturbed and full of strife and violence. We thank you that you've given us a degree of peace and quietness. Bless people who suffer tonight. We commend them to your care. Bless our community. We thank you for the people who help us. Bless our policemen, our firemen, our school teachers, our doctors, our nurses, other people who rise up to help us in our daily living. And we pray your blessing upon this city council. Bless these elected officials and these appointed people who officially serve and who willingly give of their time. We pray that the decisions that are made and all that is done tonight may resound to your glory, that our community may be advanced, that the peace of God may rest upon us, the joy of the Lord may be our strength, and that we may find great comfort and assurance in our fellowship with each other and in this meeting tonight. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Appreciate you being here this evening, and hope to see you again. Okay, Bob, I know we have some good information. All set to come forward here.
Thank you, members of the council, staff, members of the audience. Special day for us here, special week coming up. There are six of us in Arroyo Grande and Bloom who are going to be journeying to Orlando, Florida next week for the annual symposium of America in Bloom. This is our seventh year of making such a journey, and we have six people going. Besides my wife, we have Lori Waller, Mary Hertel, and her husband Paul, and Mary Giambalvo. So we have, of our chairs who are on our steering committee, we have four people who are representing us in Orlando, and they're paying for their trips. So the money that Arroyo Grande and Bloom raises goes back into the community, so we're very proud of that. Besides the excitement, and we'll let you know what happens with us in Orlando for sure as soon as it happens, and that'll be next Thursday, Friday, and Saturday evenings. But one of the things I want to talk about, live auction on October 6th at the South County Regional Center. The other 15 roosters will be silent auctioned off. So this is a great public awareness program. They're going to be at the South County Regional Center October 6th, 3 to 6 p.m. And so it is really the launch of the Arroyo Grande Public Art Program. And we're hoping that this is the first step in developing public awareness, contributions, ideas for great public art in our community, which we have been severely lacking of in the past. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, Bob. And for those of you who have been walking up and down Brant Street, you may have seen some of those roosters already completed, painted, and they just look awesome. They're just really terrific. So take a look if you're out and about.
Mr. Mayor, if I might. Yep. I know this is unusual for other councilmen to comment at this time, but I want to comment on two issues. And I think that, Bob, I drive all over this community, and it seems like whenever I look around, I see you. And I see Arroyo Grande and Bloom, including the mayor and other people working. So I think you need a special thank you for the quiet work that you do, and I appreciate it. I saw the work you were doing at the cemetery, and that was big time. That cemetery has been an eyesore for as many years as I can remember, and I just want to say I appreciate you, and I appreciate the mayor, and I appreciate the other people that show up, and you do it quietly without any fanfare, and that's important. And I just want to say thank you for that. Additionally, I want to say thank you to the pastor from Grace Church. He's a new member that comes to do our invocation, and I appreciate his effort and time. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, good. Thank you. Just want to qualify something. Bob may appear to be quiet, but he's not quiet with us. He's a slave driver. So,
Mr. Mayor, I gotta not let this one. I was going to wait till the end of the meeting, but because we're all talking about public art, I just want to encourage the community that if what Mr. Lund spoke to you about today touched you, would you please go to Facebook and like our Arroyo Grande Public Art Facebook page. Not only because we want you to like our public art, but that'll keep you informed as to what's coming up next and what dates and where the roosters are and all of that. So please check out our Facebook page.
Okay, very good. All right, we're going to move on to item 5, agenda review. 5A is closed session announcements. If you're following along on the agenda, you'll see that the council did meet in closed session on August 27th. And we discussed the performance evaluation for our city attorney. And while the council has no reportable action, you can see plainly that our city attorney is still with us. So obviously that performance evaluation went fairly well. 5B, move that all ordinances presented for introduction or adoption be read in title only and all further readings be waived.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries. Item 6 is special presentations. We do have one tonight. 6A is an honorary proclamation declaring October 2013 as Energy Awareness Month. I'm going to step down from the dais to the podium and present this proclamation. And Matthew Green, are you in the audience? And also Trevor, Keith? Okay. Well, I'm going to read this first. There are a lot of whereases. This is an honorary proclamation declaring October 2013 as Energy Awareness Month. Whereas the city recognizes and promotes the value of energy efficiency in reducing energy usage to save residents, businesses, and governments money on their utility bills, to improve indoor comfort and air quality, and to limit greenhouse gas emissions. And whereas the city of San Luis Obispo County Energy Watch Partnership provides marketing of energy efficiency programs, rebates, and services, direct installation of energy efficiency equipment for commercial and municipal buildings, and training for industry professionals within San Luis Obispo County. And whereas the City of Arroyo Grande has realized savings through the direct install program by achieving annual savings of 94,402 kilowatt hours and $16,615 in 2012 in 11 small buildings. And whereas in 2012, the City of Arroyo Grande completed energy retrofit projects at three municipal
Energy Awareness Month by a presidential proclamation in 2010. And this is now the second year in a row that local organizations and agencies have come together to bring Energy Awareness Month educational and family-friendly activities to the community. So we really want to compliment city staff in planning and in public works on the work they have done to achieve energy savings in your facilities. And also the residents and the business owners in this community that have really done a remarkable job in taking advantage of energy saving programs. We would like to highlight the energy event, which will take place on Saturday, October 5th at Cuesta College. Today begins with an energy fun run and includes many activities for kids and for families, and will showcase energy projects created by local students. We invite you to visit our website for details and a list of events at slowenergymonth.org. Thank you again, and we want to encourage you to continue to do a great job and be energy champions.
Thank you. Good. Thank you for your comments. Appreciate you being here tonight. Okay, moving along, that takes us to item 7, community comments and suggestions. This is an opportunity for members of the public to come forward on items not on this evening's agenda. The Brown Act restricts the council from taking any action on matters not published on the agenda. We would ask that you keep your comments brief, 3 minutes or less. Please address the council as one body. Anyone who would like to come forward, community comments and suggestions. Brad, good evening.
Good evening, Mayor. It's been a while. Brad Snook. I'm the chair of Surfrider Foundation, Slo County. In review, I took a look at the recycling symposium video from last year, and it's still on the Sanitation District website if people want to take a look at it. Still lots to learn, lots to take from that. And the reason I was reviewing it was I was at a workshop for Morro Bay sewage plant, and they're in the development phase and taking a lot of public comment on that. And so really interesting to be a part of that process right there in Morro Bay, because I feel this district will be in a similar situation in approximately 10 years, given the sewage plant and its age, and then the need for recycled water. And it also got me thinking about Supervisor Teixeira, because I ran into him at that event, and thinking about the void the passing of a supervisor has left as well. The Surfrider is working with Sierra Club and others in trying to build awareness around a new Chumash National Marine Sanctuary for our county waters. We feel like it will be a differentiating factor compared to the marine sanctuaries to our north in Monterey Bay, and also to our south and Channel Islands. And we'll also build ocean awareness through a new funding source. And all these cities can take part, and eventually I'll make you more aware on how you can show your support for the inclusion of a Chumash National Marine Sanctuary. Coming up events, September 21st, Firestone is throwing a little party with bands at the Avila Country Club, and they're giving some of the proceeds to our chapter, which is really cool. Bob Vogelin is having the Surfing for Hope event on Pismo Pier, certainly a good event to support, and that's all around cancer research and a HRSA effort on that. October 12th, we're having two events in Avila. The Ken Harmount peer-to-peer paddle. We expect 80 to 100 paddlers and kayaks, stand-up paddles, and prone paddlers. That's laying down. From Old Port Beach all the way to Pismo Pier. And we're getting a lot of support from the lifeguards, because all the proceeds from that event will go to junior lifeguards. So our chapter is coordinating that event in an effort to promote junior lifeguard program. And then our annual free fall event will be in Avila this year. We've got art, beer, wine, and music at the Avila Beach Community Center right there on this side of the big old parking lot. So while the band's outside, you'll be able to hear them playing between noon and 5 on Saturday, October 12th. And then all the proceeds from that event will go to our chapter. So
be an opportunity for you to do so. Anyone? Okay, seeing no one, we will close public comment on the consent agenda, and we'll bring this to the council. What is the will of the council? Any items to pull tonight?
Edward.
Okay, I would entertain a motion to approve consent items 8A through 8H, with the exception of 8E.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Discussion? Hearing none. Tim, anything to read in there this evening?
Nothing, Mayor Brock.
Okay, thank you. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Guthrie?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Costello?
Yes.
Councilmember Ray?
Yes.
Councilmember Brown?
Yes.
And Mayor Ferrara?
Yes. All right, Councilmember Brown, 8E.
Could you just go over why we're doing 8E? I've been frustrated with the undergrounding program for quite a long time because it seems like it's not going anywhere in terms of actual improvements other than what you've been able to do with credits with PG&E. So I'm trying to figure out what the purpose is and let the public know why we're doing what we're doing.
Thank you. If you'll recall, this came up during the, I think it was the Alder House discussion, whether they were going to be able to underground the utilities or not, and whether an in-lieu fee would be offered. And at that time, one of the concerns was that the existing in-lieu fee, if that were provided, was significantly less than current cost and has not been updated for several years. So the council directed staff at that time to work on coming back with an update of that fee. So this is really focused on exclusively on just updating the existing fee. That task turned out to be somewhat challenging because there's a limited number of jurisdictions that use this fee. We found other cities that have a fee, but they have very complex formulas that are based on lot size and cost of the improvements and how that compares to lot size. You know, we felt that we needed to keep it somewhat simplified by having a standard fee so that when applicants come in, they know what, you know, what that potential is. Keep in mind these fees are discretionary on the part of the council, so it's only in certain circumstances and as a tool for the council when they feel a particular undergrounding project is going to have an undue burden on that project. So our analysis, you know, we found a few cities, not a long list of cities, although we did pretty extensive research. We did a listserv throughout the state. Individually, we contacted cities that we knew. We contacted some other cities that we thought might have in-lieu fees. So the final list was only a few cities. And then concurrently, we contacted the actual utilities, and that's where the second challenge comes in, is these projects just vary in cost substantially from project to project, so it's really hard to come up with a...
Public utilities?
Yeah, it's just that each site characteristics are so unique. But we did get an average from PG&E, an average from AT&T, and some of the projects vary because if PG&E is involved, it's much less cost. And Pismo Beach is the only one that has a fee right now that's broken down by whether PG&E lines are included or other lines are included. So we felt that was a good idea. So that's one change we're proposing, is to structure it that way. But to get at some type of systematic recommendation, we took an average of the cities that we had contacted and their existing fees and used that as one figure. The actual utility costs, which is more of an updated fee, we took that and took that as a total, and then we took the two and averaged them together to come up with one total. And then we used the differences between AT&T and PG&E and the differential between Pismo's two fees to come up with how we could differentiate for just PG&E costs and just other costs without PG&E, and that's how we came up with the recommended figure.
I appreciate that. It looks to me like we're increasing the fee, basically, a bit.
Yeah, and that was my understandings of the council's direction at that time, that the council felt it was too low.
I really wanted the public to understand why we're doing what we're doing. I understand we can do it on consent agenda and just pass it, but I think your logic and your explanation is important for the public to understand. I'm a big believer in undergrounding. I always will be. I think Grand Avenue is hurting because of the lack of undergrounding. So It's going to be a big passion for me as long as I'm here, and I appreciate your explanation. So I'd move for approval.
Thank you.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve 8E. Any further discussion? Hearing none, roll call.
Councilmember Brown?
Yes.
Councilmember Ray?
Yes.
Councilmember Guthrie?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Costello?
Yes.
And Mayor Farrar?
Yes.
Segments on Bridge Street, and that's the current situation. So on the map before you, the green areas are the two-hour restricted parking areas, and the blue areas are the all-day parking lots and streets. We had some, the discussion was generated due to some inconsistency in some signage around the village. We started talking about it, whether the restricted parking was supposed to include both days on the weekend and whether it should include both days of the weekend. We went ahead and did a parking inventory of signs in the village and took it to the Downtown Parking Advisory Board at the end of August. The proposal before you this evening is to revise slightly the parking restrictions so that the two-hour parking restriction in the village on East Branch Street and a portion of Bridge Street would be eliminated for Sundays. And another part of the discussion that generated a proposed change for you this evening is overnight parking restrictions in the parking lots. And this, of course, was to address overnight stays and left vehicles and abandoned vehicles in parking lots. However, there's some concern that folks are getting their cars towed or worse, choosing to drive their cars when they shouldn't after leaving the establishments in the village late at night. And the remedy, it's pretty simple remedy, is to change it from overnight parking to 12-hour parking restriction in the village, which does allow for somebody in the village who's dined and more in the village and in the evenings to leave their cars safely without getting cited and towed. That's the two parts of the proposal before you this evening. Again, the Downtown Parking Advisory Board did review this. Lots of discussion on this item. Lots of desire to promote the fact that we have free parking here in the village. That was a big discussion item. And some of the pros and cons for looking at keeping restricted parking on East Branch Street on Saturdays and Sundays, or eliminating both days. At the end of discussion, due primarily to the fact that most businesses are closed on Sundays, that they wanted to go ahead and eliminate that restricted parking on Sunday and allow folks to park all day on East Branch Street and Bridge Street. We've noticed according to our existing practices, and we also delivered some courtesy notices to businesses up and down Branch Street, and we haven't received any additional comments at this time. And so the recommendation before you is to adopt the resolution to eliminate two-hour parking restrictions on Sundays only in the village and to replace the overnight parking prohibition in public parking lots in the village and with a 12-hour parking restriction. I'd be happy to answer any question, and the police chief is here as well.
Okay. Chief, anything to add? Okay. Questions or clarifications?
I do.
Okay. Councilmember Brown?
I understand the idea behind people that enjoy themselves in the village and need to have their car towed. Part of my question is, would they wait 12 hours to get it towed home? Wouldn't they get it towed home sooner? And then the second question, and maybe the chief can touch on this, is what I'm concerned about is we don't have overnight parking where the police can police it. Are they going to go other places in the city where they are not being able to be policed because it's not readily seen? In other words, somebody parks overnight in some neighborhood and causes grief with some neighbor versus where you can actually look and see in public parking lots because police are doing regular routine, you know, drive-bys. I'm just curious about, I mean, I understand the point, but I'm trying to figure out in my mind about if we drive them out of the village, they're going somewhere else. We can't imagine they're not going to. They're going to go somewhere else. So are we ready to deal with that, and do you think that's a better idea?
Well, first, we're not looking to drive them out of the village. In fact, quite the opposite. We're encouraging them to actually park in the parking lots in the village. We've had a overnight parking restriction before, and so if people were to, for example, go to dinner or go to the local bars.
I feel like they can do that down here. I just want to make sure that we're not pushing them out into outer neighborhoods.
I don't believe we are. I think, again, in the village where we're talking about, in the city parking lots, it's 12-hour parking, not camping. There's some requirements that we follow regarding our camping ordinance to determine whether people are living in their vehicle or camping in their vehicles. And so we have to follow those guidelines, obviously being in the evening and clearly that they're living or sleeping in their vehicles for that purpose. A little different than someone leaving their car and going home and getting a ride home with another driver. And I think our officers understand the differences and they'll be okay with that.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Good. This is not a public hearing, but obviously it's a important issue for the city. So if there's anyone in the audience who would like to come forward and speak to this item, this would be your opportunity. Anyone? Okay. We'll close public comment, bring it back to the council. We'll start on my left with Councilmember Ray.
Mr. Mayor, I think this is a great change. Anything we can do to keep our streets safer at night and to encourage people to do the right thing when they might have gone a little overboard, I think is to the entire community's benefit, and I'm certainly behind this tonight.
Okay, great. Councilmember Brown?
I agree.
And Councilmember Guthrie?
Yeah, I also agree.
Mayor Pro Tem?
I think this is prudent. The two-hour elimination on Sundays is perfectly logical, and the encouraging people to leave their vehicles is spot on. I'll support it also.
Okay. Well, I was probably the squeaky wheel on this one because one of the things that I did notice was the inconsistency in some of the signs, and then Sundays especially, you know, people coming out of Harvest Church and some of the other places, if they're in church for an hour or hour and a half and they want to go shopping and or have breakfast afterwards, they would have to move their car. So this takes care of that on Sundays especially. So it makes us a little bit more parking friendly, and I think that's a worthy goal. So I'm going to support this as well. I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
Okay, we have a motion for staff's recommendation. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay.
Needed red.
All right, and there is a something to be read in here. Is that? No, we're good. Okay. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Brown?
Absolutely.
Mayor Pro Tem Costello?
Yes.
Councilmember Guthrie?
Yes.
Councilmember Ray?
Yes.
And Mayor Ferrara?
Yes. Okay, moving on to item 12, city council member items. We have none, but we're going to say a word about that in a moment, I think. City manager items, we have none. Council communications, any correspondence, comments, announcements? Okay. Steve, did our city attorney give you a heads up about the one item that I would like to kind of elaborate on?
Yes, he did. Sounds fine to me in terms of...
A couple of things here. First of all, this is an item with regard to kind of zero waste recycling. That's an issue that was brought forth by our local Rotary Club. Steve, can you kind of give us some quick background on this? And the reason why I'm bringing it up, there's kind of a dual purpose here. One is that I'd like us to... either have it on next agenda or the agenda after that. The other thing that I wanted to kind of bring up through this process was the process that we presently have to set agenda items. I think we're one of the few cities that has a line item on the agenda that says council member items. And so what I'm doing is looking at streamlining that process a little bit so that we don't have to wait a month or 2 months to bring up an item for approval and then have it set on the next agenda, that if something comes up after the agenda is published, we can still introduce it at the meeting as a potential item for a future meeting and have some discussion about it. So does that pretty much cover it, Tim?
That's very accurate. It's one of the few exceptions to the Brown Act that allows you to take action on placing an item on a future agenda.
Right. So we'll deal with the substance of the item first, and then we can go from there. Steve, can you kind of give some background on that?
The item is basically comes from a representative from the Eco Rotary Club. They're a new Rotary Club in the area that's devoted pretty much exclusively to doing community cleanup projects and things like that. And they've brought forward a request that goes to the South County Sanitary Service's existing policy, which is they have a...
Okay, so that's the item that I would like to have the staff do the background on and bring forward.
All for it.
Okay.
Sure.
All right. And then also, if with the council's concurrence, what I'd like to do at the next meeting is maybe come forth with a prototypical revised agenda format that might look a little bit different. Instead of council member items, we might have something on there that says discussion of potential future agenda items. Which would allow anything that comes to mind for any of us to have you be able to present that even after the agenda is published. So we don't have to change it.
I'm fine with that. I don't quite understand why it's any different than what we have now, but I'm quite fine with it.
Well, it would cut a considerable amount of time off of the process that we have, because I can explain it to you a little bit later.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, we've discussed, we're supportive of it. I think it'll work smoother. The thing to be aware of is the only difference in terms of what you're losing is the reason it was initiated in the first place is if we can place the actual item on the agenda, it gives you a lot more leeway in terms of how much you can discuss. And so you're limited in terms of the discussion if it hasn't been identified on the agenda. And Tim can probably expand on that. But that's the only downside to it. But we do agree it would help streamline and make it easier. And for most issues that come up, I don't see it would be a problem.
Just briefly, you've probably seen me periodically when you're discussing an item and it gets a little bit too heavy in the discussion. I rock back and forth and wring my hands and start to sweat. When it's sitting here and it's labeled clearly, there's a little more leeway in terms of discussion. So that'll go away. But again, all we're doing now is placing items on a future agenda where you'll have the benefit of a full staff report and a full discussion. So it's not unusual to just have it as a one-step item. Here it's a two-step item.
So this is to make you more comfortable?
Not really.
I'm all for that.
Yeah, that too.
This just loosens it up and expedites your ability to place items on agendas.
No problem. Okay, good. Thank you. All right. Staff communication, anything tonight, Steve?
No, sir.
All right. And item 16 is our final community comments and suggestions, and this is an opportunity once again for any member of the public to come forward on any item, whether it's on the agenda or not. Anyone who would like to come forward. Final community comments and suggestions. Okay, thank you. Then item 17 is our closed session. And before we adjourn to closed session, once again, you can see the substance of our closed session item on the agenda. If there's anyone in the audience who would like to comment on that closed session item, once again, we want to give you an opportunity to do that before we adjourn into closed session. So, anyone? All right, we'll close public comment on closed session, and the council will adjourn to closed session. And I just want to announce to our public that the report out of closed session will be given at our next scheduled council meeting.